Welcome to Pilgrim Power, the podcast for Pilgrim Rest Baptist Church. Today's message is entitled, A Work of Art, and was brought to us in honor of Mother's Day by our own First Lady, Minister Lynn Mackey. The lesson text can be found in Psalm 139, verse 14 of the NIV version. Listen in closely so you can see how you are beautifully and wonderfully made. Have a great day.
So for the time that we're going to share together on this wonderful day where we're honoring mothers and all those people that we love in our lives, I want to tag this text with this title, A Work of Art. Amen. So while you're finding your seat, go ahead and turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, you are a work of art. I heard somebody say, that's you sure right. I like that. It was early Sunday morning, October the 19th, 2005, in Paris, in one of those most famous museums in all of the world. It's actually one of the largest museums in the world, and it's the Louvre in Paris. It opened its grand doors this Sunday morning, October the 18th, just like any other day. And just like any other day that they have been opening doors for centuries, where people were coming to experience the treasures, these one-of-a-kind art pieces, these priceless moments in time, these things that are historic and irreplaceable. Can you see the tourists already lined up to come in, already have their tickets ready, already ready to see this once-in-a-lifetime space and place? They're lined up for the opening, ready to experience something extraordinary, ready to see the glittering beauty. But within 4 minutes, yes, just 4 minutes, thieves rushed into the Apollo Gallery, shattering the glass and escaped with jewels worth more than $100 million. Wow. These weren't just your ordinary gems. These were masterpieces. These were works of art, royal pieces that were from the royal family, crafted by artists whose hands were long gone. Voices are now silent, but yet their work was still speaking. These were pieces that Napoleon gave to his wives, but these things were in the museum that were supposed to be protected, but thieves came in 4 seconds and took everything away. And then the world had to pause and ask, how could something so valuable just disappear so fast? Now, this is what stayed with me. Even though the jewels were missing, even though the jewels were gone, even though the jewels were taken, even though they were hidden away and their location changed, their value never changed. Yeah. They might have been mishandled and in the wrong hands, of course, but their identity, who it was connected to, that never changed. But what I found amazing from the report was they said even if those big pieces were broken down into little pieces, they still had a way to recognize what work of art it was actually from. So it doesn't matter if it was broken. It doesn't matter if it was taken apart. No matter if it was stolen, it could still trace the origin of the work of art. They could still be connected to history. You could still recognize who it's belonged to. Why? Because once something is called a masterpiece, once something is called a work of art, it never loses its value. Yeah. Now, I just became curious. Now, if I was Pastor Mackey, I would call him nosy. But me, we're going to call me curious, all right? I was just curious, how is it that you have all of these masterpieces, all of this work of art, all of these multi-million dollar things, and don't have a good security system? I mean, even in my house, I don't have $1 million worth of things. I don't have works of art that artists and everybody would want to come see, but I still have a security system. Amen. So why is it that they don't have a secure safety kind of measure put in place? So I said, with my little nosy, research self, I said, I'm going to look into, maybe has this ever happened before? Because it has to have happened before. If these thieves rushed into the Apollo Gallery and knew exactly what to take, how to take, I just don't feel like this is the first time. So upon my research, I learned that in 1998, there was a painting by John Baptiste that was stolen and never located. It was lost to never be found again. But then it happened again in 1911. There was a man that worked in the museum who said, you know what, they got my eye on something on the wall. So he hid in a broom closet, waited till all the tourists left, waited till all the employees left the building, waited until the lights turned dim. He snuck out of that broom closet, pulled out a knife, and walked up to the canvas of our girl Mona Lisa and cut her out of the canvas, rolled her up, and put him in her in his pocket. And Mona Lisa, our girl Mona, you know Mona, she's one of the most recognizable faces in all of the world. She went missing for 2 years. For 2 years, the most famous painting in the world was missing. But then something happened. Mona's location changed. She even had some damage, remember, because she was cut out. But her worth and her value never changed. Yeah. Because when Mona Lisa was finally recovered, nobody questioned her value. Nobody reduced her worth. They were just as excited that she was found and back home. Because one thing, once something is called a masterpiece, time can't change it, loss can't erase it, and life can't devalue it. It still has value. And today we're celebrating women who have loved deeply, served faithfully, and walked through seasons that they should have been broken. We're honoring women that are here who have been keeping families together with praying hands. And we're so thankful for those mother's figures that we wanted to honor them and understand that you too are a work of art. And I want you, even if you have honoring some mothers that no longer is here, will you please take the time today to honor her? Remember her in your heart and in your home. Mothers might not have always gotten it right, but they have sacrificed. And I came to tell mothers, non-mothers, and everyone in this room that even if your location changed, you still have value. Yeah. Some seasons may have left their mark. Some years may have cost you more than they gave. You may even have some scars and bruises, but your value has never changed. Yeah. Because when God creates something, he does not assign temporary worth. He establishes eternal value. That's why David in the text says what he says is in there. If you haven't torn it out, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Not because his life was perfect, because actually in this moment, his life was so less than perfect. David, when he wrote this text, he was actually on the run. He was actually questioning himself. He was actually struggling with his self-confidence. You talking about David? I'm talking about David, the king after God's own heart. I'm talking about David who killed his tens of thousands. I'm talking about David that knew how to talk cash money to the Goliath, the giant. I'm talking about that David that was fine as wine. I believe he looked like Michael B. Jordan, but that's just my picture. I'm talking about David who knew how to enter into a room and set his presence. David was struggling with his value. Even though he was battle tested at a young age, he was still having trouble with his value. But when he writes this particular psalm, David decides that while he's being on the run and while enemies are pursuing him and he's struggling with his identity and purpose, instead of asking for deliverance from the situation, he just pauses to marvel at the goodness of God. He pauses to look at the relationship that he has with God. He pauses to understand and review how intimately God knows him, how creative he was in his creation. But I like it that even when David was on the run, he manages to still write a work of art. He didn't let his surroundings change him. He changed his surroundings. He wasn't the most comfortable place, but still Bill manages to find his mind of reflection and worship. Because you do know when you start reflecting, you create an atmosphere for worship. Yeah. This particular psalm is a personal hymn of worship. In this psalm, you experience reflection through the whole thing, a different part of God. In the first part, you get an all-knowing God. Then you get the all-present God, and then you get the unlimited power and authority of God. And there are a few stops in this text that I believe will encourage us to pause just like David and marvel at how intimately God knows us. Because you are not a duplicate. You are not disposable. You are not an afterthought. You are valuable. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, you are valuable. And so the first move we have here is fearfully made. That just simply means that you were built with reverence. The word fearfully in the text does not mean that you should be afraid or that people should be afraid of you. It means you were created with holy reverence, sacred care, and divine intention. That just means God took his time when he made you. When he laid that hair on your head, he took his time and made you. When he put your eyes together, that just means he took his time and put it right there. When he put your shoulders and your back and your knees and your legs and your feet and makes you walk with a beautiful glide, that just means he took his time to make you. That's why you walk one way and I'll walk mine, because he made you and he made me. And we were made to be what? Valuable. And so when you think about an artist who plans every brushstroke before a canvas, that is just what God did. He did not just throw you together. He was intentional. There is nothing accidental about you. The God who numbers the hairs on your head designed you with reverence. Yeah. So if God handled you in such care, let me ask this question. Why are you letting yourself be mishandled? Why are you letting people talk to you any kind of way? Because I don't know about you, but baby, I'm quick to stand 10 toes down and say, you can't talk to me like that. You can't be in my presence observing this like that, because I am fearfully and I'm wonderfully made. I am God's favorite. I am a chosen priesthood. I am a royal generation. I am somebody. I know who I am and whose I am. You just can't come up and talk to me any kind of way, because God created me with intention and he created me with reverence. So go ahead, when you walk out the room or maybe when you get on the phone, you say, you can't talk to me like that. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Matter of fact, you might want to go ahead and change your name on your phone and say work of art. You might want to go ahead and get you a nameplate on your door so people at your job will know and say work of art. You might need to go ahead and tell somebody and put your signature on your email different. I am a work of art. But while some people have been letting people talk to them and mishandle them, can I be honest? Some of us have been talking to ourselves the wrong way. Some of us have been mishandling ourselves. Some of us can't look in the mirror and say anything good to ourselves. And some of us are acting like we're replaceable. Some of us are acting like we're recyclable, reduce, reuse, and keep getting passed to the next person. But I stop by to tell you that God made you with reverence, and God made you to be a work of art. And to be honest, I need you to understand that you are God's design. You are one of a kind. You are meant to be treated with respect. Not only are you one of a kind, but I like this one, you were born to stand out. Yeah. Not only are you one of a kind, you were born to stand out. So fearfully, now we're on the word wonderfully. That word wonderfully there means set apart, extraordinary, to be like, not be like anything else, to be unique. You were meant to be unique. And I think sometimes we forget about this because we're in this social media culture where we have full-on comparison clones and carbon copies, and social media has us in a chokehold and nobody wants to be like themselves anymore. And we're posting likes instead of for genuine love. But can I tell you a fact? Since this is Mental Health Month, Psychology Today says 1 out of 3 teenage girls consider unaliving themselves because of the effect of social media. Let me push it a little bit further. It also says that girls that are of color are the ones that struggle the most and the ones that actually proceed with an actual attempt. That's a fact that I don't enjoy, ladies and gentlemen. But we have to do our job to remind our daughters as a village, as a community, with compliments and words of affirmation. We have to do our job to tell them, baby, you don't have to look and talk like anybody else. You are the best at you. Nobody else wants to be not like you. You don't need to be like anybody else. The world doesn't need a dressed up like somebody else. It needs you to be dressed up like you. And if you ever need a reminder of this, just hold up your hand and look at it. Inside your palm, you have something called fingerprints. And everybody has a different set of fingerprints. And I believe that is God's way of at our fingertips reminding us that we don't need to be like anybody else. We were meant for reverence. We were meant to be unique. We were meant to be outstanding because we are fearfully and wonderfully made. All right, those who are here, you might have come just to see somebody get baptized. Can I tell you a little fun fact about me? Yeah, you mind? I like reading the Bible in different versions, right? I like the Message version because she keep me up when I want to read my Bible at night. Another version that I like is the New Living Translation version. Can I tell you what this piece of text is in the New Living Translation version? Listen, it says, "Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex." I like that because it says complex, not confusion. It's not saying too much. It's not a problem. I know in the world, complex is usually viewed as bad. It's usually viewed like if it's something is complex, I don't want to do it. I don't want to take the time. I might not even have the time. But usually when something is complex, it's bad. But in this piece of text, it's saying that God created you and composed you in a multi-layered type of way. I'm talking about how you were created and designed is complex. Think about it. You have a nervous system. You have a circulatory system. You have an immune system. You have cognitive. You have capabilities. You got bones. You got muscles. You got blood. You got skin. Just think about how complex you are and how you were created. And you want to just do one thing one way. But God makes us beautifully complex to show difficulty, but to testify that God is intentional with our design and to care and know how good God's creation is, and it is excellent. So God, thank you for making me beautifully complex. Have you ever been told you're too much? Have you ever been told you're too emotional? Have you ever been told you're too sensitive, you're too soft, you're too strong, you're too this? Have you been told that you're too complex of a version of yourself? Well, can I offer a different translation this morning that can help somebody? You're not too much, you're more than enough. You're not confusing, you're crafted. You're not too emotional, you're intentional. You can be soft and be strong. You can pray and still have a plan. You can cry in the morning and conquer in the afternoon. You can worship and still work. You can carry a Bible and still work a boardroom. You can honor your family and still do a good job. It doesn't matter. You were meant to be more than enough. You weren't meant just to be one thing, because God made you with reverence and he made you to be unique. You are one of a kind and you are meant to be complex, because that just shows the creativity of our God. And just like those stolen jewels at that museum, your complexity doesn't diminish your value. It proves it. So a thief doesn't just break in to get something ordinary. No, a thief wants to steal something that has value. A thief wants to steal something that's one of a kind. A thief wants to steal something that's extraordinary. That's why the devil stays on our tracks, because we know he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, because you are valuable. You are fearfully made with reverence. You are wonderfully made with uniqueness. And now the third thing I have, you were made for something. You were made with purpose. You are bound with an assignment. The word in the Hebrew here, more, does not just mean created. It means fashioned and fitted for function. Not just designed to exist. Not just designed to survive. You were designed to do. God didn't just give you a pretty face, baby. He gave you a calling. He didn't just give you a personality. He gave you a purpose. He didn't just put you on this earth to walk around. He gave you an assignment. Now I need you to hear this, because the enemy knows it too. That's why he fights you, not because you're weak, but because you're dangerous and you're coming against his plans. And he knows that if you get 2 feet on the floor, that he'll not be able to stop you. But I need somebody to tell that devil, you can't hold me back now, because I'm dangerous. It's because you are a child of God and you have value. He sees your purpose even when you can't. There are women that I know that have sat in this church. We meet every Wednesday. Well, not every Wednesday, every third, fourth, and fifth Wednesday for a women's cluster at 6:30 in the Word building right next door over there. Everybody say commercial. 6:30, the women meet and we come and teach and we come and we talk to each other and we talk about the Word of God as women. So one day, I'm not going to call her name because she's in the room, but she decided to teach the class and she wanted to tell her testimony. And she said, I used to be just a drive-by member. Y'all know what a drive-by member is? You know, they just drive up, they come out, they don't really speak much, they sit down, praise the Lord, and then hop back in their car and go on about their business. Right. And so she said that somebody called her out and said, have you decided to stop sitting on your purpose and start going and getting to work? And she realized that though she was not really connected and not really engaged, Carm said that I'm going to tell you what she said that blessed me. She said that while she was going through this process, while she was making sure her girls were in ministry, Carm said, you were made for purpose, on purpose, for his purpose. And so then she said, let me stop getting out of park and get on go. And I believe that's just somebody else in the room. You've been parked in your purpose. You've been parked scared to start. You've been parked not thinking that you are good enough. But I stopped by to tell you, baby, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. I need you to get off the parking lot and get on go, because God has called you to something. And it might be somebody in this room that might be going through their minds and thinking about all the things that people told you that you wasn't good enough. Somebody told you that your family wasn't no good. Somebody told you that your zip code was bad. Somebody told you that you didn't go to school and didn't have a degree. Somebody said you didn't know anybody. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? There's somebody that the enemy tried to take out. But let me tell you something. You looking at me and I'm looking at you, that is a testimony that you are still here. They said that the charges will hold you, keeping and keep you back, but here you are with your fearfully and wonderfully made self. They said your family wasn't nothing and you wasn't gonna be nothing, but look at you being all of something. Maybe you struggled with an addiction and they said you would never get over it, but look at you here clean and in your right mind with your fearfully and wonderfully made self. Maybe they wrote you off, but God wouldn't let their words be the last chapter of your life. Look at you with your fearfully and wonderfully made self. Maybe people that were supposed to speak life in you were speaking death when you, I just came by to drop in your spirit the words of God. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are a work of art. You're still here, and it's not by accident. You're still here because purpose does not expire. You're still here because God doesn't abandon his masterpiece. You're still here because he's not finished with you yet. You may have had a purpose, and you're made for a purpose, on purpose, for his purpose. David, while in this situation, had to remind him himself just of who he was and whose he was. He was a child of God and he had to remember his worth. And I just believe he decided to be a man in the mirror. He said, in my spiritual imagination, he took a step back and looked at himself in the mirror. And despite everything that he had been through, God was still putting his hands on his life. Despite everything he had been through, the good, the running, the failures, and the uncertainty of his value. If you look at the text, it doesn't let him get in the way, because he starts off with the praise. He says, I will praise thee because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That's all David is doing. He's doing what my daddy told me when I was a little girl. Baby, ain't nobody got to tell you you look good when they see you. Didn't you look at yourself in the house in the mirror before you left? And I believe David just looked at himself in that spiritual mirror and he took a step back and started reviewing God's creation, which was himself. And the more he looked, the more he started worshiping, the more he started to reflect on God's goodness, the more that thing got good to him. It's not pride, sugar, it's just praise. I told you that reflection leads to worship. And so maybe we can take a page out of David's book. When you look in the mirror, you need to start talking to yourself different. Can I give you some things that you can say to yourself? You can say, great are the works of the Lord. His works are honorable and glorious. You can say to yourself, he made everything beautiful in his time. You can say that I, just like God did in creation, when it looked good, he stepped back and said, ooh, it's very good. You can talk to yourself and say, her price is far more than rubies. You can talk to yourself and say, it is the Lord's doing, it is marvelous in our eyes. You can start looking at yourself and say, I am the head and not the tail. You can start looking at yourself, I am blessed and highly favored. You can start looking at yourself and say, no weapon formed against me shall be able to prosper. You might be able to look in the mirror and say, enemies and foes, try your best, but I already know you gonna stumble and fall. You need to look at yourself in the mirror and declare that I am a work of art. You need to declare that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Do you remember those items that I started off with talking about at the museum? They were hidden, mishandled, and taken from their rightful place. But while the thieves stole, none of the pieces lost their value, even when it needed to be recovered. And that's just what Jesus did for us. If you're connected to the master, then you are a work of art. Sin tried to steal God's masterpiece. We were lost and sinking in sin. The enemy tried to break into our minds, our homes, and our lives. He tried to steal our purpose and our joy. The devil tried to steal our shine, but God said, I'm coming to get what's mine. And he didn't commission anybody else to do it. He came himself. He stepped down 42 generations. He took off his robe of divinity and put on his robe of humanity. But just like when he was coming here and he was trying to develop this work of art, he was trying to figure out what tool to use. He said, do I want to come as a sculptor and shape and form it? He said, no, I don't want to do that. And he said, do I want to come as a jewelry maker, laying things out, refining and putting it together? He said, no, I don't want to do that. He said, do I need to pick up a paintbrush like a painter and start blending colors? He said, no, I don't want to do that. So he decided to reach for his tools. He decided to pick up a manger, and he was born in Bethlehem. He decided to pick up clay and gave sight to the blind. He decided to use the tool of his voice, teaching and preaching. He decided to pick up bread and fish and feed a multitude. He decided to pick up a towel and wash the feet of his disciples. But the greatest pickup of all was one Friday he picked up the cross, and he died on a hill called Calvary. Yeah. And my Bible says that without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So my Jesus decided to claim his masterpiece, and he died on a hill called Calvary. He died on that cross. He died until the sun refused to shine. He died until the moon dripped down in blood. He died until the earth rocked like a drunken man. He died until the graves flew open. He died until the veil of the temple was torn from top and bottom. He died until sinners got scared and demons started shaking in their boots. He died until the Roman soldier said, surely, surely, this must be the Son of God. But one thing about being a work of art, ladies and gentlemen, you might be in the process. You might be going through final touches, but you're not complete until they put the signature at the bottom. You're not a complete work of art until the person that is the artist decides to sign his name. And so Jesus said, since I'm down here creating this work of art, since I picked up all the tools, because I have defeated death and secured salvation, he decided to go ahead and put his signature in it. So early Sunday morning, he rose with all power in his hand. That was just him signing his signature. And because he got up, this masterpiece still has value. And can I tell you what I know? Because everything that has tried to take me out hasn't been able to touch me. Everything that has tried to come in my way has had to move, because his signature is on my life. Is there anybody in the building that says, I know his signature is on my life? How do I know, Lynn? I'm so glad you asked. When you see him making a way out of no way, that's just him signing his signature. Can I get a witness? When you see him opening doors that no man can shut, that's just him signing his signature. Can I get a witness? When you see him being a keeper and you couldn't even keep yourself, that's just him signing his signature. Can I get a witness? Is there anybody? somebody that says, I've seen God move mountains. I've seen God raise valleys. Can I get a witness? Is there anybody that said, I didn't know how I was going to make it? That Negro thought that when he left me, I was going to be broken. But look at me. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Is there anybody that looks over your life and you can just see God signing his signature? I don't believe I'm not the only one. So I'm going to call for it one more time. Can I get a witness? Is there anybody whose life has tried to take you out? But here you are with your fearfully and wonderfully made self. You thought you was gonna lose your mind, but here you are with your fearfully and wonderfully made self. That was just Jesus signing his signature. And what's his name? What's his name? What signature do you have on you? What's his name? Let me tell you, if you don't know, his name is Jesus. Mary's had a little lamb, the bright and morning star, wheel in the middle of a wheel. Is there anybody that knows my Jesus? He's a Jehovah Jireh, my provider. He's a Jehovah Nisi. Yes, God. He's a healer. He's a doctor in a sick room. He's a lawyer in a courtroom. He's a bridge over troubled water. He's the bright and morning star. He's my way out of no way. He's my way through. He's my way out. Can I get a witness? Is there anybody that wants to talk about my Jesus? Well, don't let me do it by myself. This is a part of participation. If God has done anything for you, if God has done anything for you, if God has done anything for you, if the world has tried to attack you, if the world has tried to take you out, I just want you to raise your hands and say, look at me with my fearfully and wonderfully made self. Devil, you should have killed me when you had the chance. You should have let that attack go through. But because Jesus signed his signature, I'm protected. I'm covered. I can go to bed at night. I can find rest. I can get joy for the journey. I can make all things possible. I can live and not die. Is there anybody in the building that says, my Jesus is a keeper? My Jesus is a keeper. My Jesus is a keeper. Oh, to be kept by Jesus. Is there anybody that says, God, thank you for your signature. Thank you for setting me apart. Thank you for making me one of one, because I am a work of art. So somebody, here I come to tell you, you're not a mess, you a masterpiece. I came to tell somebody here, you're not complex, you're created. I stopped by to tell somebody, you're not too much, more than enough. Is there anybody that's ready to walk into authority? And is anybody ready to walk into his authority? And is anybody ready to walk in this new season? Is it anybody ready to make their feet do the talking? Say, Lord, I'm walking to get what's mine. I'm tired of the devil coming for my life. I need somebody to snatch it back. I need somebody to snatch it back for your children. I need somebody to snatch it back for your family. I need somebody to snatch it back for your cousins. I need somebody to snatch it back for your grandchildren. I need somebody to snatch it back. I need somebody to snatch it back. I don't want you to miss the shift in the room. I want you to be the person that's about to break strongholds in your family. I need you to be the person that says, today it stops here. I need you to be the person that declares over your house, I don't want you to miss the shift. Is there anybody in here that doesn't mind saying, God, you can go ahead and start with me. God, you can go ahead and start with me. God, I don't mind you leading the way. God, if it start with me, I promise to carry it out. I dare you, if you want to be a starter, meet me down here at the altar. If you want to change life for yourself, if you want to change life for your family, if you want to change life for your friends, dare you to meet me at the altar, because we know there is power in this place,
And I want you to get what you need. I want you to get what you need. I want you to get to break the stronghold. I want you to get to break addiction. I need you to get what you need to have your joy. And I'm not talking about the joy that you have one day and you lose on another. I'm talking about joy that you have no matter what comes and no matter what goes. Is there anybody that wants to meet me as a believer? Say, Lynn, today I'm doing it. I'm doing a new thing because I'm a masterpiece. I'm a work of art. And today is your day to confirm that signature on your life. Today is the day that you're going to say, I'm walking back different. Today is your day to say, I'm going to do it another way. You might have always tried it one way, but can I dare you to come to the altar? I don't know if you need to lay down addiction at the altar. I don't know if you need to lay down self-doubt at the altar. I don't know what you need to leave at the altar. But I declare that if you would leave it here and don't pick that thing back up, but pick up joy, pick up peace, God is going to do a mighty work. I just believe if you leave it here at the altar, God is going to blow your mind. I need some prayer warriors in the aisle. I need some believers that have seen things happen. I need some believers that have seen cancer dry up. I need some believers that have seen God make a way out of no way. I need some believers that when they gave me that pink check, it wasn't final. I need some believers that say, I can make it after divorce. I need some believers that I can make it after abandonment. I need people to say, I can make it after mother issues. I can make it after bad father issues. I need somebody that's in the building that proves that you can make it. I need somebody in the building to prove that you can make it. Because we know that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, nor has it entered in the heart of men, the good thing that God has in store for you. And I just believe if you would lay it down here, God is gonna blow your mind. Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? I need some believers in the room. It only works when you have believers in the room. It only works when we have believers in the room. So I need the redeemer of the Lord to say so. I need the redeemer of the Lord to open your mouth. I need the redeemed of the Lord to give God praise. I need the relieved of the Lord to say so. I need the redeemed of the Lord to say, yes, God. I need the redeemed of the Lord to say, no weapon formed against me shall be able to prosper. I need somebody to remember their words. Because when you can't remember your words, you remember your words. That's what you gotta do. Your words are what the Bible says. Well, what does the Bible say? I am the head and not the tail. The Bible says I'm more than a conqueror. The Bible says the good things that he started in you, he shall bring it forth in due season. I need somebody ready for due season. Is there anybody ready for a due season? Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. I declare if you give God your yes, he will take care of the rest. Because he is a God that never sleeps nor slumber. And it's somebody here that hasn't gotten a good rest in a long time. But I came to tell you that if God stays up all night, it's no reason for you both being up. God has already carried the nighttime duty. So let God do his thing. Let God make ways out of no way. Let God do his work. Let God do the mighty and the miraculous. All you gotta do is just be there ready to receive it. Open your eyes and receive the glory of our God because you are a masterpiece.
Thank you for listening today. We want you to partner with us and become a part of our family. Please go to our website, pilgrimrestphx.org, to get more information. You can also text to give by texting PRBC to 77977. Remember to subscribe. Now, let's go live a life of higher heights and deeper depths as we occupy all streets.